Welcome to PCMC.
Everyone
be quiet. Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by the incredible Jennifer Grace Luttrell.
Hello.
How are you, JGL?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. We are in my car on a crisp, chilly, spooky autumn night.
You bet.
Talking about a spooky movie.
You bet.
You know, in my younger days, when I was in a car parked like this, I was up to bad things, doing drugs.
Uh-huh.
Now a cop would be like, "What are you doing? What are you doing, a podcast?
What are those microphones?
Oh my God, why can't you just do drugs?" So yes, it's a beautiful fall evening. A good night to talk about what we're going to talk about today.
Yes.
Today we're here to talk about Whatever Happened to Baby Jane from 1962.
A classic.
A camp classic.
You bet.
So that's our main topic, but we've also been kind of down a weird Baby Jane rabbit hole where we watched Baby Jane, and then we watched the Ryan Murphy show Feud.
Which was excellent.
Yes. There's a new season coming out now as we record this. But the first season is Joan Crawford and Bette Davis.
Yep.
And it sort of documents the making of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, but also a little bit before and after and how they really hated each other and their crazy dynamic
good.
And it's interesting because a lot of what they were dealing with, or at least what they're dealing with in that show, that reflection of them, is stuff that you see in the movie Baby Jane, which is like what happens when you're a star and you get older.
Yeah.
And people care less.
Yeah, especially as a woman.
Yeah. So there's a lot of life imitating art, imitating life. And then we also just watched Mommy Dearest.
So good. Neither of us had seen it.
I saw it. I don't think I had. I would have, if you had asked me before, I would have said yes. But then as we watched it, I was like, maybe not, because I would have told you that the whole movie's about her as a kid, and that's only like half of it. There's a whole second half where she's an adult, and there's other stuff going on.
Right.
Which actually, I think the back half is not nearly as interesting as the first half.
Right.
And as much as that will enter our conversation, because that is also a camp classic. And of course, if you're not familiar with Mommy Dearest, we should say Mommy Dearest is based on a book written by Joan Crawford's adopted daughter,
Christine.
About her being an abusive mother. So that's the connection there. And Faye Dunaway plays Joan Crawford in that. In Feud, it is
Jessica Lange playing Joan Crawford and Susan Sarandon playing Bette Davis.
Yes.
Who just perfection.
Incredible.
Perfection.
Incredible.
Get this woman an Oscar. Does she have one?
I
guess it would be an Emmy.
Maybe for Dead Man Walking.
Yeah.
She might have an Oscar
for
that.
Get her an EGOT.
Has she?
I don't know where she would get a Grammy.
I don't know where she'd get a Grammy. Some spoken word thing. No, they're great in
it. Yeah, they're so good.
And actually, I think Ryan Murphy, as much as, like, he can be very exploitative. You know, he, just look at his oeuvre. He's done a lot of crazy shit.
Yeah.
You know, he just did a Dahmer show that people are kind of unhappy about. But I think Yeah, well, the victims, families of the victims are like...
I got you now.
And, you know, he's done a lot of crazy shit. You know, he also gets a lot of shit for, like, how much rape is in the American Horror Story seasons.
Right.
And
you
know, also he did, I believe, I think he did Nick Tuck. Oh, I don't want to say that and be wrong. But he's a bit of an exploitation kind of guy. And he's a camp kind of guy.
Right.
But that being said, I actually think that Feud kind of goes easy on both of them.
Yeah, it looks on them with pretty kind eyes.
Yeah. And it goes easy on Crawford.
Oh, yeah. Especially after, like, Mommy. I feel like a lot of what I know about Joan Crawford is, like, one trailer of Mommy Dearest.
Right. wire hangers.
Yeah. And face masks.
Yes.
Nighttime face masks.
Right. Yeah, and we should say that Christina Crawford has even said when the film came out that Faye Dunaway was just completely over the top and just... Despite having written a whole book about how terrible her mother is, she actually even said, like, I think my mother didn't deserve what Faye Dunaway did portraying her.
Yeah. It was a lot. It was... yeah.
He did do Nip Tuck and Glee.
Oh.
Interestingly enough. Yeah, in... there's a pointed scene towards the end of Feud where one of her other adopted kids is like, I thought you were a great mother.
Yeah, she adopts twins. And yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they do touch on it like a tiny little bit.
Well, in Mommy Dearest, she's the Joker. She's a straight up
She's just villain. Pure villain.
But in Feud, her and Bette Davis, they are turned against one another because they're both women in Hollywood who are getting older, who there's less and less parts for them to play, and they're sort of torn, they're sort of put toward each other. I mean, even the marketing of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, part of that was built on Hedda Hopper, the gossip columnist, like getting them to talk shit about each other.
Right.
And really like milking the fact that the American public knew that they didn't like each other.
Right.
They made a public scene about, and they were both huge stars.
Mm-hmm.
So they made a public scene about like them signing their contract together and being in the same room as one another.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. This film comes out in 1962.
Mm-hmm.
It's directed by Robert Aldrich.
Mm-hmm.
It is based on a book by Henry Farrell. And the screenplay is written by Lucas Heller. So, what's the story? What's the basic story?
Bette Davis is a child star. Bette Davis' character is a child star. And then Joan Crawford's character grows up to be... Well, Bette Davis' character is more like a vaudeville star. And then Joan Crawford's character grows up to be a movie star.
Yeah.
And they're sisters. And then Bette Davis's character has like a really big drinking problem.
Yeah.
And there's a car accident, a car crash, where someone crashes into someone else. And then Bette Davis is Baby Jane. That's her vaudeville character.
Yeah.
And then what was
Joan Crawford is Blanche.
Oh right, Blanche.
Right, Blanche in the accident is
paralyzed.
She now is in a chair. And we're led to believe, even though we're not shown it, we're led to believe that Baby Jane
was driving the car into her. Blanche.
Right. And now the basic setup of the film is they're both older and they live together in this like creepy old house. There's a lot of Sunset Boulevard in this film. Sunset Boulevard, I think, came out 12 years before it. And there's a lot of similar themes of an older star just sort of sitting around their house living in the past.
Right. Yeah, she's watching one of her movies.
Yeah.
On TV.
Yeah.
Her pictures.
It begins in a super weird way where we begin in 1917, where we see Baby Jane played by some little girl.
Yep.
Pretty well. Like, she's just like, she's like a state. She's like, she's basically like Shirley Temple.
Yeah.
Everyone loves Baby Jane. She's cute and adorable. She does her little dance. Everyone loves her.
Right.
She sings I've Written a Letter to Daddy.
Which is played throughout the film.
Right. It actually becomes like her theme. Even in like a scary way.
Yeah.
Which is a weird song because it's about her dad being dead, but her dad's her manager.
Right. And he's playing piano. On stage.
And Blanche is the older sister, but she's not the star.
Right.
But they're...
It's a little gypsy-esque in the beginning, where the younger sister has the talent and the older sister's kind of just watching.
Yeah, I haven't seen Gypsy.
It's good.
Well, yeah, so it sort of, we skip ahead now to like, I guess, I forget what year that is, but they're both in movies now, but Blanche has become like a legitimate movie star. And Jane, no one cares about anymore, but Blanche is sort of just, like, bringing her along.
Right.
She has, like, yeah.
She's in, like, really high demand, and she has a lot of power. So she makes it so that for every movie she makes, they have to make one with Jane.
Right. And
which is wild.
We see, like, a director and a studio executive sitting in a screening room watching a Baby Jane movie. Which looks like, I don't know what film it is, but it looks like Bette Davis. So I'm assuming it's some old film that she actually did. And they're like, man, she sucks. This is terrible.
Yeah.
So the very first thing you see is a Jack in a Box. I don't even know how to describe it. It says
at a, like, a toy store.
Yeah. It says 1917.
Yeah.
Yeah, we see like a kid.
Crying. A little girl crying.
But then the Jack in the Jack-in-the-Box is also crying.
Yeah.
But then it just moves on to, like...
Right.
Is that like, the little toy store outside the stage where they are?
I guess so.
Because then there's the Baby Jane dolls.
I know, I thought it... Yeah, there's a Baby Jane doll that they make a big deal about, and I thought that was going to play into the toy store.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. It doesn't.
It's just super weird. The first thing you see... is just fucking, I forget the very first image, but like the first thing that happens besides saying like what year it is Jack in the Box, kid crying. And the thing that I can't get over is it looks like the Jack in the Box is crying.
Yeah, it does. There's a tear coming out of the Jack in the Box. And the kid's not near it, so it's not like
what
she's
the fuck
crying.
Is happening? Yeah, I don't know. You know, everyone loves Baby Jane. She's on stage. Then we see backstage, she's like a little bitch.
Yeah,
she's like, I want ice cream. And the dad's like, ha-ha. And there's a crowd around. So the dad's like, ha-ha, you don't want people to think you're a bad girl, Jane.
Yeah.
And then, it's perfect camp because there's a lot of funny moments in it that are played straight.
Right.
Like, I go by the definition of camp from... the critic Susan Sontag, where like a camp, you can't know it's camp.
Mm-hmm.
Like something like Sharknado to me, whether you like it or not, is not real camp because they're in on the joke. Like this movie, I think, was trying. I mean, maybe it knows it's being weird for sure in its direction. And maybe Bette Davis is just like unhinged in her performance.
Right.
But there's just, there are moments of. That you laugh in it, that you're like, that was not written to be funny.
Right.
It's just funny because of how fucking bananas the performances are.
Yeah, it's pretty bananas.
Yeah, one of the first really funny things that I laugh at is everyone sees Jane like being a little brat and wanting ice cream. So the dad's like, oh, well, I guess it is kind of hot. I guess if you need some ice cream, we'll get some. Blanche, you want some ice cream too? Because the oldest is there. And Blanche, just being a nice girl, is like, no, I don't want ice cream. And he's like, what are you trying to do? Like, it's like she's trying to make her sister look bad.
Yeah.
It's just so funny because she does nothing but be polite. And the dad gets super mad at her.
Yeah.
And then we see the mother say, you know, when one day you're going to be the one with all the talent, and I hope you're nicer to your sister and your father than they are to you now.
Yeah.
And that's what happens.
Yeah. And she is.
Yeah. Yes.
Sort of.
Right. The ending, we'll talk about the ending because I have problems with the ending.
Right.
In terms of its logic.
Right.
So Baby Jane is a full-blown alcoholic.
Oh, yeah.
So Bette Davis had a lot of influence over the way her character was designed and the way her character looked. And she decided, like, I'll make my character look like she's dressing up like a baby doll. Like a little baby doll. And she's, like, an older woman.
Right.
And nothing will make an older woman look ancient than dressing up like a child.
Right.
It's almost like drag.
Yeah.
But it's not drag of gender. It's drag of age. It's right. Like, here's an older woman.
It's so over the
playing
top.
Playing a baby.
Yeah. It's so. She's like got like white makeup on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And what's supposed to be a beauty mark, but it's a heart.
Right. Shaped like a heart that she draws on herself.
And like, yeah. And like cute little like Shirley Temple curls kind of. I mean, Shirley Temple's hair was shorter, but tied back with those kind of. Maybe like banana curls, is that what they're called?
I mean, imagine the style of a little kid.
Right. In the
but a grown ass woman.
Right.
In it. So which is immediately arresting visually.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if we're to believe the TV show Feud,
right.
It's because Joan Crawford was so obsessed with her looks, and she always wanted to look pretty and right. always wanted to be presentable, despite how her character was supposed to be, like, sick or in trouble.
Right.
That Betty Davis was like, well, you know, I'm the real actress. Yeah. So I'm going to make myself look fucking ridiculous and horrible. Like, in Feud, she comes out of the dressing room dressed like Baby Jane.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, is she fucking serious?
Yeah.
it is bold and wild.
Yeah.
I actually think if not for Betty Davis's performance, this would be a pretty forgotten movie. I think she's what elevates it to that next level of this is something interesting to be remembered.
Right.
Because she just plays it full bananas.
Yeah.
And she seems to kind of go through two different characters. Like, sometimes she's like, I'm a little baby.
Right.
Which is itself creepy. Like, hi.
Yeah.
Oh, daddy. You know, like, she's like, hi, everyone will be nice to me. And it's like, it's so creepy to hear her talk that way. But
go ahead. And then I'll tell you.
Well, the other thing is bratty little kid.
Yeah.
It's both little kids, but it was like, yeah, Blanche, what do you mean?
Yeah.
You're like, you're in that chair. It's not just that she's mean. She's like, the way she like throws her arms and body around.
Yeah. She's either like having a tantrum or trying to get someone to like her.
Yeah, yeah.
But the getting someone to like her reminds me very much of Gypsy Rose and her situation in the documentary Mommy, Dead and Dearest.
Yes.
If you watch her, which I don't know how much psychology they did on this, but whenever Jane feels like she's in trouble, she reverts back to like sweet baby.
Yeah.
And whenever Gypsy Rose, like there's a point in the documentary, which this is a real person based on real things,
right.
but there's a point in the documentary where her dad comes and she's like trying to get him to take her home and like away from jail. And she just like fully reverts back to like her like baby kind of voice.
Yeah.
That she used to have to use with her mom, which was, I mean, it's a really sad situation, but.
And it might be confusing to the listeners because we were talking about Mommy Dearest. Now we're talking about Gypsy Rose, a real person, and a documentary about her.
Mommy
Dead and Dearest. Gypsy Rose is a woman whose mother had Munchausen's by proxy. So the mother,
Made her child sick. She had a perfectly healthy child.
Right. And got the child like
trips
almost
to
like
Disney
famous.
The
child thought that the medicine was helping her, but the medicine was hurting her. And she was so emaciated, like you would look at her and think, oh, she's 12, but she was like 18 or something.
Right.
And then Gypsy Rose finds a boyfriend online, and I forget exactly what happens.
Yeah.
They kill the mother.
Yeah.
Or she gets a boyfriend that kills
eventually the mother. She finds out that everything's been a lie.
Right.
And she's healthy, and the boyfriend has obviously some mental illness.
Right.
But yeah, she gets, because she's so abused and she's so restricted.
Yeah, the documentary.
It's a real sad story.
It's sad all the way around.
But I just thought it was interesting that, like...
Right. I'll play baby.
You will revert back to what you think will help you.
Right. Well, I think, actually, throughout whatever happened to Baby Jane...
Yeah.
She, more and more as the movie goes on, she's reverting back.
Right,
to, like, the
right.
very, very end, she's just like a child
she's just
again.
She's
just... She's like... asking for ice cream and then walking away from without paying for it.
Yeah.
Just like she has no fucking clue what's going
on. She's not in the present.
Yeah. They actually made a narrative show about Gypsy Rose about what was it called? The Act?
Oh, The Act. That was good.
Right, where the mother was played by Patricia Arquette.
Yes.
The whole story there, it's a sad but interesting story. If you're into true crime, it's interesting. The whole thing there is you kind of have to think about, like, it makes you think about, is it ever right to murder somebody?
Right.
Like, this, like, if you're a child who has been tortured your whole life because your parent had Munchausen's by proxy, if you kill your parent, you know.
Right.
She is in jail, though, right?
I don't know if she still is, but she was. She was arrested.
Then
she tried to, like, just get the boyfriend arrested.
Try to turn on him.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Right, right, right. When we get to the, like, the present day, mm-hmm. although it actually says yesterday.
I know.
Like, this all happened yesterday.
Yeah, I guess it's like...
Because it says 1917.
Right.
And then it says, like, 1935, and then yesterday.
Right.
But actually, before we go into the house to meet them as adults, you meet the neighbors.
Yeah.
And the neighbors are almost like sitcom...
Yeah.
Like, regular, quote-unquote... like family.
Right. It's just a mother and daughter. That's right. All you see. And like a teenage daughter.
Right. The teenage daughter is played by Bette Davis's daughter.
Yeah.
And she's not doing a great job. Yeah, and in Feud, they talk about it, how she got her the job. And she almost is like, I don't know if she does or not. She's like, she could use her different name.
Yeah.
Like she was like so embarrassed by how bad her daughter is.
Yeah.
And it's Kiernan. Oh, what's her name?
It's the girl that plays Sabrina in the new Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
I was right. Kiernan Shipka. And the mother is watching a old Blanche Hudson movie on TV, which is also a real old
Joan Crawford movie. Yeah.
And there's some weird, this is intentional comedy. There's this weird thing where, like, you know, it's a commercial break, and this is like, there's an announcer who's like, sorry to break into that great old Blanche Hudson movie, but let me tell you about this dog food. And it just seems like the movie itself is making a comment on TV or TV culture. But they make a point by saying, like, Blanche is in some way having a revival because of TV.
Right.
And maybe that's part of what's making Jane come closer to the edge.
Yeah.
They have a cleaning woman who comes in once a week, Elvira.
And yeah, she's like cleaning and like kind of like an, I don't know if she's like a nurse, but she takes care of Blanche too.
Right. Their plan is for her to live with her.
Right.
Right. And she says, like, here are all these fan letters from people who see your movies on TV. They were all come from the TV station. But Jane threw them out so you couldn't see them.
Right. Yeah.
Joan Crawford she's good. She's very good in it. Mm. And you feel sad for her.
Yeah.
You know, she's like a bird in a cage. She actually has a bird in the cage, mm-hmm. like as a pet in her room. But also she's in this tiny little room.
Yeah. She's on the second floor. Yeah. And she's in a wheelchair.
But there's no ramp or anything.
Right.
So she's like stuck in her room.
Yeah, it's also weird. I mean, I get it. I get why it needs to be.
Maybe the 60s. I don't know how compliant things were. I mean, I guess if she...
Well, not compliant.
I don't think they have a lot of money at this point.
Well, they did, though.
Yeah.
If they had all the money. I know they need it for the story. Yeah. But if they had all the money...
Yeah.
From...
Blanche's movies.
From Blanche's career.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you, like, build a room downstairs or make one of the downstairs rooms a bedroom?
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't...
Right. It doesn't make sense.
I just don't get it. But, I mean, I know you need it for the story because then it wouldn't work the way it does.
Right, right. She's got to be trapped.
Right, she's got to be trapped.
And there's bars on the windows, too.
Yeah.
So, which really makes her like a bird in a cage.
Right.
And there's a claustrophobia. Like,
oh, yeah.
She has this little buzzer that she'll, like, buzz to, like, get Jane to, like, come to her. Jane, like, gives her meals and stuff. But she starts starving her.
Right. Yeah, she's completely reliant on Jane.
There's also a little bit of Stephen King's Misery in it.
I think.
So there's an interesting thing that I noticed watching it for the second time is Jane calls Blanche a bitch.
Yeah, but they, like,
they buzz it out. Right.
Yeah, they use the buzzer.
Yeah. But you see her lips say bitch, which is interesting. This movie, I for the time it was came out, it's considered like a horror movie. Although by our contemporary horror standards, I think we would see it more as like a sort of like
psychological
thriller or dark satire or something like that. So there's this great thing they do in the soundtrack where if anything kooky happens, you hear like this twinkling, like, and it's to the tune of I've Written a Letter to Daddy.
Yeah.
It's like, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
And it's fun because Bette Davis is just complete banana splits in this.
Yeah.
Like, she's just like,
she's unhinged.
Yeah. She's just on a different fucking level.
She's in a different movie entirely. Yeah. No, she's not, though. But, yeah, she's all the way in on this character.
There's this interesting thing they do where they set up that they set up that Jane is a great mimic and can mimic Blanche. But when she does Blanche's voice, it's actually Joan Crawford's voice.
Right.
So she's just lip-syncing the actual actor's voice. And it's just one of many uncanny things in this movie that's just it's unsettlingly weird.
Yeah.
So we learn that Blanche wants to sell the house.
Yep.
And move away from Jane and live with Elvira.
Right. And put Jane, I assume, in some sort of asylum.
Something like
for
that.
For the time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They never say it. They always say they want her to go with the doctor.
Right.
Or to go to a place where she'll be taken care of.
Right.
I assume that means.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Not particularly great, but. Yeah.
Blanche keeps talking about her doctor, Dr. Shelby.
Yeah.
And she wants to talk to Dr. Shelby, mm-hmm. and Dr. Shelby will explain it to Jane. And,
right.
And she talks about how Jane's getting worse, but like you said to me when we were watching it for the second time, do they mean in terms of her mental health or her alcoholism?
Right. They say she's sick.
Right, she's
Elvira's like, she's sick. She needs help. She's sick. And that's when I was like, are they talking about alcoholism? Because that's pretty aggressive. But I mean, mental health, too, I think would be.
She's like wildly alcoholic.
Oh, yeah.
She calls the grocery store to get a delivery. And she's like, I like some booze, please.
Yeah.
And they're like, sorry, your sister told us we can't sell you anymore. And she's like, oh, let me go get my sister. And then she does the voice.
Yeah.
And she's like, and it's really Joan Crawford's voice. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. You can still send over some alcohol. And, you know, so she's just drinking constantly.
Yeah.
And a feud's to be believed. Right. Both Joan Crawford and Bette Davis were drinking constantly.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that checks for the time.
Yeah. Of course. So there's an interesting... Oh, so we see Jane downstairs and... She's just like in the, they have a little like rehearsal practice room that has like one of those bars that like you see
the
like
ballet bars.
Yeah. And like a mirror.
Right.
And she hears the song, I've written a letter to daddy, but it's just coming out of nowhere.
She thinks it's coming from the doll.
Right.
It's definitely coming from her head.
Right.
But yeah. Right. And you know what else? I realized this time too, that's their childhood home.
Yes.
That Jane bought. So that's definitely where she rehearsed with.
Right.
Her dad. Like, that's probably all set up for her.
Right.
Which is even creepier.
Right. Because they argue later on and Jane's like, I bought this house.
Right.
But really, like, after Jane kind of like was no longer a kid, it was Blanche's success that kept them going.
Right.
And currently, it's Blanche's success
that pays it
because we find out later on, Blanche sneaks into Jane's room. She sees that Jane has been forging checks with Blanche's name.
Right.
So, we haven't talked about the doll. So, there's the Baby Jane doll. So, when I say that, you're probably imagining like a Barbie doll.
No, it's giant.
It's giant. It's like, do you remember my size Barbie?
It's like life size.
It's like that. It's like life size of a little girl.
Yeah.
And it's so fucking creepy. And even actually, there was one in their car when the car accident happens.
Yeah.
Because we have this sort of cold open, and then we have the car accident, and then when the car accident happens, the credits roll over shots of the car,
right.
And you see the actual title card, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, is over an image of the Baby Jane doll, but like its face is cracked.
Yeah, it's got like a porcelain face.
Yeah.
So the part of the face is missing.
Yeah. So she thinks when she's down in the whatever room, lighting in that room is always very weird and surreal.
Oh, yeah. It's from above.
Right.
So it's super harsh when she's right under it.
Yeah.
Especially with the makeup. Like, you could see all the
creases.
It's
so white. Yeah.
And she's older. So, like, it's not lighting you want to be under.
Right.
Super creepy.
She sees herself in the mirror.
Yeah, because she's singing, and she's fully in it.
So she's a baby
performing.
in her head.
Yeah, in her head. She's probably looking at the doll and just remembering her five-year-old self, maybe.
Right. And she sees herself as an older woman, and she screams.
Screaming.
Like it's a nightmare.
And it is. Now, I terrifying.
Well, let me ask you something, because I find myself really watching closely. Mm-hmm. When she looks in the mirror, is that really just a reflection of her? Or do they do more stuff to make her look older in the reflection?
That's what I... Because when, when you see it. Yeah, the reflection does seem off.
Right. It seems like it's maybe even worse than she looks.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's there's a dreamlike quality to it. Mm-hmm. We should say the film is in black and white.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a choice for the 60s, you know. And it fits for this movie.
Right.
And it also is... It has a sort of film noir kind of look to it. It's very high contrast lighting, meaning like the brights are very, very bright, but then the darks are sometimes completely pitch and you don't see what's going on in it. So in a, like any scene in that like rehearsal room is like you've got that bright, bright light on her and then like, and it's almost like it's this is her imagination. This is the stage in her mind that she's always on.
Right. Yeah. Even when she performs in that room later for...
Mr. Flagg.
Yeah. Like, the camera's low. It looks like an audience member looking up at her on stage.
Yeah.
With the lights, with, like, the old-timey bulbs that would be at the end of the stage.
Right.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
So there's a tense scene where Blanche, like, writes a letter to the neighbor, like, help me. Because Jane takes the phone off the hook. Everything begins to escalate quickly when...
The first big thing that she does, though, is she cooks the bird.
Right.
That Blanche has as a pet.
Right, because she hears them talking about her.
Yes. And she serves it to her.
Right.
And that's, like, a big moment because she
It's a pretty scary moment.
Oh, yeah. She serves her dinner with like the
and she says the like bird flied out the window
which I wonder if she was just saving it for a time where she was mad at her probably that's probably what that was.
I don't know
I feel like if she didn't upset her she wouldn't have done it. It was she was saving it for a time where she was like
but she says I know what goes on in this house. I know you called the doctor four weeks ago. So I think things are escalating because Jane knows that Blanche wants to sell the house and get her out and put her somewhere. So that's why things that's why she's taking the phone off the hook. That's why things are escalating. That's why she's like giving her a bird to eat
which she doesn't eat
So the phone's off the hook. So Blanche is like trapped in her room. She writes a letter for the neighbor. She throws it out the window. It falls on the ground. The neighbor has like, it's almost Hitchcockian. Like the neighbor has a conversation with Betty Davis. Betty Davis is always just mean, just outright a bitch to the neighbor. And the neighbor's so polite to her. And the letter's in between them and Blanche is watching like terrified. And then she sees the letter's not there. And we see that actually Jane did find it and read it. But she doesn't bring it up until later.
No. She brings up that she's going to see a doctor.
Right.
And then she's like, what's the number again? She pulls it out of her shirt. Or her dress.
Pulls out of her boobies.
Because the number was written on the... On the paper. And it's like some old-timey... You know.
Right.
Type of number.
Klondike 5. 6-2. When is the rat? No, the rat's not now. She gives her something. She's afraid to eat, but she actually gives her, like, ribs.
It's such, like... It's like such a... psychological warfare.
She's, like, torturing her. She's making her afraid. And she gaslights her a lot, too. Because she'll be like, ha, it's just a joke. You know, or she'll be like, you're so paranoid. You're the one who belongs somewhere. Like, she tries to, like, Jane is always trying to, like, turn things around on her.
Even with the ribs, she's like, well, why didn't you eat your din-din? And Blanche is like, well, you know I'm afraid. And that's when she takes it out. She's like, there's nothing wrong with it.
You're paranoid.
You didn't eat your din-din, so you don't get anything till lunch.
You know, the way that you just said din-din made me think of something.
What?
I wonder if the original person who voiced Harley Quinn was in any way inspired by Baby Jane. And really, because there's definitely something there to that.
The cadence.
And the baby voice. And the white face.
And the heart.
Yes. We cracked the code. So Elvira comes and Jane doesn't want her in the house. She doesn't want her to talk to Blanche because Blanche is going to say she killed my bird and blah, blah, blah. Right, so she's like, ah, oh, we're giving you the day off. Here's your money. Take the day off.
Yeah.
And Elvira knows something's up. She, from the first scene, she's like, your sister's crazy. She belongs somewhere. She's sick. She's doing these bad things on purpose.
Yeah. And she, Elvira tells her to call the doctor.
Yeah.
And Blanche is like, I know, but she seems like she's getting better. And I don't want to do that. But
So after the rib scene where it's like, oh, maybe she isn't going to feed her something bad, is the rat scene, which is probably the biggest scare in the movie. It's almost like a jump scare, really. Like, the food is always served to her in one of those serving dishes that has a cover, right? So you know, the bon appetit.
Yeah.
I actually learned the word for this the other day and I can't remember it.
Go Google it.
Yeah, who would do that? Right. Not PCMC. So the last time was ribs. So she's like, okay, I guess it'll be real food. And she was afraid to open the ribs. And then it's a fucking dead rat.
No. She knows a rat's coming because they get into an argument and Jane's like, you know, we got rats in the basement.
Yeah.
And then she walks out.
But doesn't she?
No, go ahead.
Is she? I don't remember. Is she going to like eat it, or does she think there's going to be something?
I think it looks on her face like she knows it's going to be something, but she opens it fast, like with.
Right.
And the bird, it was a very slow open.
Yeah.
But with the rat, it's a very fast open.
And Jane's like.
Yeah. I feel like that's a big scene.
Yeah.
That people know. If you know them anything about the movie, that's probably the scene that you know.
Feud had an animated opening, and it would animate some scenes from the movie, and that was one thing in it.
The rat, and then her immediately cackling. And while she's cackling, Blanche is screaming and,
And she does something very sad where, Blanche, like...
will circle around in her chair.
Because she's, like, trapped and she can't...
She can't do anything.
She's in her chair, so her chair's her only way of her only agency of moving.
Right.
So she's just, like, so trapped.
She's got this, like, terrified fight or flight energy.
Yeah.
And she can't do anything.
Yeah.
She can't fight or flight.
Right. She's completely trapped.
It's terrible.
In there.
Yeah.
So now the character of Edwin Flagg comes into it. Mm-hmm. And this is Victor Buono, who played King Tut, I think.
Yeah, I
in
think I
Batman.
Saw that. Yeah.
In the Adam West Batman. And we learn a lot about him in the Feud show. He actually becomes good friends with Betty Davis.
Yeah.
Because he is a gay actor. And, you know, there's a scene where he's like, you've been so good to people of my tribe.
Yeah.
And they become like, at first she's like, she doesn't like him. And then she like works with him and she thinks he's good.
Right.
And then like they're like BFF forever.
Yeah. He gets arrested at one point.
Yeah.
In real life,
right.
I guess.
In a gay club.
Right.
And she goes and...
she bails him out.
Yeah, right. Uses her star power to bail him out. Now, you asked a question, which is the character Edwin Flagg supposed to be queer-coded?
I think so.
He lives with his mother.
Yeah.
Betty
Davis, or what's her name? Jane asks about a wife.
Yeah.
And he, like, gives some kind of answer that just, like, ignores it.
He's also, like, faking his whole life. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, he's kind of this out-of-work guy who's, like, living off of his mother, but he has some musical talent.
Right.
And then... we should say Jane goes and puts in the paper an ad for like looking for like a pianist to like work with her because she wants to like get her career going again.
Right.
And she's going to use Blanche's money to pay him.
Right.
And so he needs the money. So he has his mother call pretending to be his secretary.
Yeah.
And his mother's English and speaks with an English accent, but he doesn't. But when he shows up at Jane and Blanche's house, he's using an English accent and he's pretending like he's this big shot and he has students in a school where he teaches.
Right.
But he really just needs the money desperately.
Right.
So they're both like pretending to be things they're not.
Yeah.
So Blanche, every time Jane leaves, Blanche is like...
trying to get help or get out.
So Jane leaves and Blanche is like, I'm going to try to go downstairs. So she leaves her wheelchair at the top of the stairs and she uses her upper body strength, her arms and the banister to try to like get downstairs.
Yeah.
And she finally gets to the bottom of the stairs. She falls down. She crawls over to the phone and calls the doctor. But then terrifyingly, Jane comes in and catches her.
Yeah.
And does the voice of her again, and yeah. it's like, don't worry, doctor, you don't have to come over.
Right.
And then kicks the shit out of her.
Yeah.
And if Feud is to be believed, in that scene, she really kicks her.
Well,
she's really, when they're filming that scene, she's kicking her.
Right.
Because if Feud's to be believed, right, she does something clever, which is when they're doing the coverage of her, the shots of her just kicking a doll.
Yeah.
She's going crazy, crazy aggressive.
Right, right.
And you see Joan Crawford like, why is she going so hard?
Yeah.
It's because she's an old.
She has to match it.
Right. She's an old movie star. She knows what to do.
Right.
So she knows like when they have to recruit, they have to film her on the with Joan Crawford on the floor, she has to really kick the shit out of her.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, who knows if this is, who knows how much is Ryan Murphy? Who knows how much mm-hmm. is just legend?
Right, right.
Of all this stuff.
Right.
So Elvira comes back. Oh, Elvira comes and
Betty Davis fires Jane her. Fires her.
She's like, you're fired. We don't want you anymore.
Give us your key.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, sorry. I must have left it at home. And she's yeah. like, well, whatever. I'm in a hurry. Get out.
Yeah. And then so she looks like she's going to take the bus, but then the bus drives away and there's Elvira. Elvira just waits for Jane to leave and she yeah. goes in the house. She has the key. She goes in the house.
Yeah.
And sees... at this point, it's like really extreme. Like,
right.
Blanche is tied up. Yeah.
She has, I don't know what you would call it, but she has a thing above her bed to
help
her
get
up
out of bed. Yeah.
Because she only has her arm.
Right.
And she can't use her legs at all.
She's tied to that.
Right.
So her arms are
like. She's tied to that. Yeah. And like some of her body's up too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's high and her mouth is taped. And she's locked in there, so Elvira's trying to
get
the door off the hinges, which takes some time.
Right. And Jane comes home.
Right.
And Jane...
Jane is trying to starve.
Yeah, I guess.
Blanche... No, she is. Yeah. Because she right. wants to be able to leave and start a new career with... Right. What's his name?
Edwin.
Right, Flick. Edwin.
Right, because she says...
Right. She has says, a family matter, but in a week, that should be taken care
yeah,
of.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Right, right. You're right, 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 right.
So she's trying to starve her.
Right.
And yikes.
And Flag... She's, like, so, like, being the baby doll
yeah.
for Flag. And, like, singing. And he's just, like, rolling his eyes like, this woman's crazy,
yeah.
but I need her money.
Yep.
She's in this
great.
Big house. She must have money.
Yeah.
She sings... I've written a letter for Daddy, but it's Betty Davis singing it, and she's just like so fucking unhinged.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. So Elvira comes in. She gets a door. I guess
Jane
that makes
catches
sense.
Her.
Right. And Jane catches her.
And she's like, get out of here. Get out of here. And she's like, I know she's in there. You got to act like an adult like everyone else.
Yeah.
And then she finally gives
and
her
and then she
key.
Sees her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, well, I don't remember exactly how it happened. She sees her. She gets in
right,
there.
Right. Betty Davis comes home, and she does yell at her, and she gets her to give her the key.
Yeah.
And Betty Davis is like, you'll tell, or something. Like she,
yeah.
Like she's reverting back.
Yeah, yeah. You'll tell.
Yeah.
They'll be mean to me.
Right, yeah. Talking about the police.
Yeah.
And she gets in there, and she sees that, like...
Right.
You know, she's tied up and she's really, really sick. Yeah.
And Jane comes up behind her with the axe that...
The hammer.
Oh, the hammer that she was just using to try to get the hinges out.
Yeah.
And kills Elvira. Although it's not... You don't see it,
you
really.
You don't see it at all.
But she has murdered somebody at this
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
And now she just... She any like semblance of like sanity is gone.
Right, yeah, it's all gone.
Because like she was like... She's got like... Blanche tied up, but she'll
yeah.
like go to Blanche and be like, you need to help me.
Right. Like,
they're
what am I
tell
gonna do?
Me. And,
yeah.
she's like, and she's like starving to death.
Yeah.
So Edwin comes to the house, Jane has just killed somebody, so she can't let him in.
Right.
Because she's got a body to get rid of.
Right.
So he's like, fuck this. He leaves and goes and gets drunk.
Yeah.
He comes back drunk with the cops. The cops,
yeah.
she answers the door and it's the cops and she's like, oh, fuck. But the cops are like, this guy says he knows you.
Yeah.
And they just bring him in and he's just drunk.
Yeah.
And they go in the kitchen. She gives him a baby Jane doll and he's
yeah.
like, this is weird.
Yeah. She puts it on his lap.
Yeah. And he gets in Blanche's wheelchair and like.
yeah. Puts a scarf over his head.
And it's like.
He like pulls an E.T. because
yeah, yeah.
the doll's in front of him.
He's just being crazy now.
Yeah.
And he's like, now that. He's drunk, so like any pretense is like kind of like dropping.
Yeah.
Oh, she knows that he's there. Oh, Blanche knows that someone's in the house. Right. So she uses the she gets one of her arms free and she uses her strength to knock over a lamp.
Right. Because
so he hears it. Yeah.
Right. Because Jane is downstairs
and
so
she's removed the buzzer.
Upstairs. Yeah, and she's removed the buzzer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he runs up, gets sees it, and then he runs out. And she's like, "He's gonna." Oh wait, she goes, "He hates me." He hates me.
And then she's like, he's going to tell.
Yeah.
like her eyes get really wide when she realized that it just switched from losing a friend to
I'm in trouble for murder
now. I'm in trouble. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, and then she's like, Blanche, what are we going to do? Yeah,
you have to help me.
Yeah.
So she dragged, which I mean, good on Betty Davis. She drags a whole...
The whole Joan Crawford.
A whole Joan Crawford, who I'm sure was not helping any.
Right.
Because she's supposed
they show
to
that
not
in Feud.
They do show that, but I'm sure that's 100% accurate. Because
what does she keep? What does she? Does she laugh?
She just.
I forget how she fucks it up.
I forget.
But in Feud, there's a montage of the scene where she's dragging her out, and she keep. And it's hard for
Betty Davis
to drag Joan Crawford, but
and
she
she's
keeps
supposed
fucking
to be
up.
Lifeless.
Right. She keeps fucking it up somehow. And
I think she does keep laughing because Betty Davis has to put her arms under her armpits and like clasp her hands and like drag her that way.
Yeah.
I think
so
that's
she does
it
like a million times to get
it
right. And you can
she's sweating.
Yeah. And she's just torturing Betty Davis.
But even if that didn't happen, I'm sure she made it difficult by like going completely lifeless.
Yeah.
Which she is supposed to be, but...
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
She's, like, starving to death at this point.
Yeah. But, like, good on Betty Davis for dragging a whole Joan Crawford around.
Yeah.
And it's for a while. It's not like she just drags
her
out of bed.
She drags her to the car
like,
and everything.
But, like, in that one scene.
Oh, yeah,
like, she drags her across the room, out the door, and, like, it stays on her for, like, a good while for an older woman to be dragging a person. But anyway.
Totally. Yeah. So we're kind of towards the end. We go to the beach. Because she says, like, remember when Daddy would take us to the beach and me and him would rehearse on the beach?
And everyone would surround
and
me.
And the people.
Yeah.
Oh, and this is the first time Blanche tries to reveal the truth about the car accident to her. She's like, I gotta tell you about the accident. But every time Blanche says anything about the accident, Jane's like, you said you'd never talk about that.
But also Edwin sees her and runs away.
Yeah.
Edwin gets upstairs and sees her. And he's like, she's dying.
Yeah.
She's dying.
Right. So he goes to tell.
Yeah.
So they go to, she drags her ass to the beach.
Yeah. Wraps her in a blanket.
Right. She's just like a little fucking dying burrito.
Yeah.
You know, when I first saw the film, I didn't read it as her dying. But in Feud, they talk about how it ends with her dying. And I watching it for the second time, I'm thinking more about the cinematic language of older Hollywood films. And I think her big speech that she gives to her where she reveals the truth about the car accident, I think in this period of American film, like a kind of speech like that is is almost like an it's like a death knell.
It's
like an indication of here's the thing I'm going to say and then I'm dead after.
Right.
You know, because you see that in other films too. Like you have one last, like you say your last piece and then you're dead.
Right.
So, first they get there at the beach and it's like night, it's dawn.
Yeah.
So they're alone, but then it gets to the day and like there's people there, but like fucking Jane is like playing with
she's
a pail and
completely
sand.
Unhinged.
Yeah.
She's completely reverted.
Right. And there's like kids around. There's a funny shot. Which I really hope was improvised because it's so beautiful. There's a shot of like two little kids like bouncing a beach ball and like Jane comes up to them and is like puts her arms out like throw it to me. And the way the little girl hesitates, I can't help but believe they were just extras. And fucking Betty Davis just walked over in character and fucking did it.
Yeah.
Because it's incredible. And
she goes to
it's all over the news because they find the body.
Right.
They find Elvira's body.
Right.
And so it's like, and it's also old Hollywood legend that Jane tried to kill her sister.
Right. Yeah.
So they're on the beach.
And
Joan Crawford.
Yeah, gives her a big speech about what happened with the car accident.
Right.
That she was the one who was driving the car. Because Jane was so drunk and she was being really mean to her at the party and saying all these terrible things.
Yeah.
And Jane got out to open the gate and Blanche tried to drive the car into her.
Tried to kill her.
Right. Well, I guess you're driving a car and somebody tried to kill them. But Blanche saw it and jumped out of the way.
There's some music
playing.
Sorry.
I thought it was someone singing. I was like, wow, it's creepy. Yeah. So she tries to drive the car into her, and Jane jumps out of the way. And within the act of her hitting the fence with the car,
gets paralyzed.
Yeah, she paralyzes herself.
As the driver.
Yeah, right, kind of.
And Jane's drunk, so Jane doesn't know what's happening.
Yeah,
she runs away
and is caught in like a hotel with a guy.
With a fella. So she don't know what's going on. Blanche like crawls outside in front of the car to make it look like it was Jane.
Right.
Okay, so how do you feel about
this reveal? Well, I told you at first, I thought it was just like one, because again, I guess I didn't read it as her dying. I thought it was like one desperate, or no, I knew she was dying. I didn't read it as she died after. But I thought it was like one desperate attempt to just like, because she's starving and there's a snack stand. It's only until after the story that Jane gets her anything to eat.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just like one desperate attempt to just like get something.
Yeah.
Like get her out of it. Get her something. Like make her feel like the hero. Like give her anything to help her survive.
That's an interesting way to read it. Yeah. My feelings about it, obviously it's true, right? But my feelings about it are, is it a good reveal? Because the point of a reveal, right, is it's supposed to make you look at everything else that's happened in a different light.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose it does, right? But it's not like suddenly you feel like, oh no, Blanche is the bad guy and Jane is the good guy.
Right.
Jane still just spent 2 hours torturing her sister and starving her. So you do have an oh fuck moment, like, oh wow.
Yeah.
Like it is a reveal, but then it doesn't amount to a lot, I don't feel. I feel like you don't even need it, really.
Right. Yeah.
And it makes you feel more like, I mean, it makes things make more sense. Like maybe that's why she didn't try harder when she was younger to get Jane help, or why she makes excuses for Jane's weird behavior.
Right.
But it's not, I don't know. It's not, I don't know. I wish there was more to it.
Yeah. Or that it came earlier or something. Yeah.
But there's a great line after that where she tells her, and she's,
we could have been friends.
Right.
That's what Jane says.
All this time. Right. So she goes and gets some ice cream. She's like, I'll take some strawberry. And then the guy's like, you want to pay? And she just runs away.
Yeah.
And at this point, the cops know what's happening. The cops, because somebody complains about her car blocking the road. And they're like, they go and look and they see that it's Jane's car.
Right.
So the cops like, she's got to be here on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And then, is it the ice cream that causes the disturbance? Or they just see her? At some point, the cops see her with the two ice creams, and they go to her, and they're like, Miss Hudson, we need you to come with us.
Right.
Where's your sister? Can you tell us where your sister is? We're worried about her. And she starts, like,
dancing. Because everyone's surrounding her, because they see the cops there.
And they're like, what the fuck's happening?
Yeah, they're all talking, like, badly about her. They're just like, wow, this terrible person. But because they're surrounding her and she's just completely lost it, she's just dancing with her ice cream. Like, they're all surrounding her, like, when she was a kid, and they're amazed by her.
Right. Which is a lot like the ending of Sunset Boulevard, where, like, there's a crowd there, but she's perceiving it as the crowd is adoring her when they're not adoring her.
Right.
And that's the end. It just is the end over her just being bananas on the beach.
And the cops go to...
Right.
But I don't know. I guess that's also why I thought
she was alive.
Wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, okay, they're going to save her now.
Yeah.
But I guess she died.
Yeah. It's a wild, fun, funny, weird movie. And if you haven't seen it, you should see it.
It's good.
And I would also say see Feud. Feud's really good.
Feud is great.
The director, Robert Aldrich, is also a big character in the show. And he's played by Alfred Molina, who's incredible. And you kind of see, like, his career and how his career goes.
Right.
And you have Stanley Tucci, the Tooch, playing Jack Warner, the head of Warner Brothers, as a real dick.
Yeah.
Like, a real mean son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, there's a great scene where he... well, we haven't talked about Mamacita.
Oh yeah.
Talk about Mamacita.
Is she real? Do we know for sure?
I don't know if she's real, but I know that the like right hand maid in Mommy Dearest is a composite of characters. All so right. maybe yeah. there was a real Mamacita that that character is based on.
Mamacita is Joan Crawford's assistant. Yeah,
assistant, like, maid, but butler.
Like personal.
Right.
Like she lives with her. Like she does everything.
Yeah.
Kind of like if you've ever seen Will and Grace, she's like her Rosario.
Yes.
Her life coach.
Right.
The
she's
only
everything.
One that could talk back to her.
Right.
Like literally.
And just, she's like this blunt woman.
Right.
Yeah.
Because she can be.
Right.
Wait, what were we? Why were we bringing up Mamacita? Sorry.
Because Jack Warner goes to, because she's holding up. She has all these antics.
Right.
When Joan Crawford gets upset by something, she holds up the movie.
Because that worked before.
Right. When she was younger.
Right.
So Jack Warner goes and Mamacita's like, she's not here. And he's like, go get her.
Yeah.
And he just goes into her house and she's like, Daddy, you got to help me. And he's like, you know what? That wasn't cute when you were 40. It's definitely not cute now. He's like, that might work for that fat fuck over at MGM, but it doesn't work with me.
Yeah.
And then there's a brutal scene where she's like, you always liked Betty more than me. You think she's more talented than me. And he's like, yeah, she is.
Yeah.
She is more talented than you.
But there's a lot of that.
Right. He says that to Bob Aldridge, too.
No, but between them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's one point in, like towards the end where Joan is jealous of Betty because she has the talent. But Betty is jealous of Joan because she has the beauty.
Right.
And it's just like that's what they've been basing. I mean, I don't know if that's true.
And that's where they're turned against
each
other. But
like that, yeah, that's the big point of their feud.
Yeah, Betty tells the story where she's like, I wanted this audition and I could hear, when I left, I could hear them talking and I could hear them say, she's a good actress, but she doesn't look great. I wish she looked more like Joan Crawford.
Yeah.
And then there's the scene, who knows if it ever happened, there's the scene where they're on the set of the second movie they were starting to make together. Mm. Joan Crawford ended up not finishing, and they filmed it with someone else, where they're arguing, and she's like, oh, Betty Davis says, what's it feel like to be the most beautiful girl in the world? And she goes, great, but it was never enough. And then she says, what does it feel like to be the best actress in the world? Mm-hmm. And she goes, great, but never enough.
Yeah. It was Hush, Sweet Charlotte.
Which the working title was Whatever Happened to Cousin Charlotte.
Yeah.
And they were like, you got to change this fucking thing. It was meant to be like, because no one thought it would be a hit.
Right.
It was this little like scary movie and it becomes a huge, huge hit.
Yeah.
That like Betty Davis is nominated for an Oscar. And Joan Crawford is not nominated.
Yeah. And Joan Crawford sabotages.
And does not take it well.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And
the ending episodes... of the ending episode
very of, sad
is very very sad.
Yeah,
it really the show really looked on, especially Joan Crawford, but both of them with like,
it almost makes it like the opposite of Baby Jane, because Betty Davis is the better person,
right?
But also Joan Crawford is just like such a sad person.
Everything is out of desperation. Sad. It's so freaking sad. She only has Mamacita.
Yeah.
I mean, she has her twins, I guess. But, like, really, she only has Mamacita.
All her kids are kind of adults.
Yeah, they're all older.
Yeah.
And
she doesn't even have money. Like, the Pepsi money is, like, gone.
Right. Yeah, she married a really wealthy guy.
Yeah.
Who owned Pepsi?
Or was
really big with Pepsi.
Yeah, yeah.
So Pepsi was, like, her big thing. So a bunch of times in it, she says, Pepsi-Cola.
Yeah. Well, it's
nice, refreshing Pepsi-Cola.
And then fucking Betty Davis brings like
Coca-Cola
Coke machines onto the fucking set and gives people Coke just to fuck with her. It's incredible.
So good. But yeah, towards the end, twice.
Yeah.
One time I forget why, she throws something at Mama's. She's like having a full tantrum.
Right.
About something.
Because when something was wrong, she just flips out like
a
child. Yeah. She's more like Jane in real life.
Right. She throws something. And I don't know if she throws it at Mamacita, but she's just throwing things.
Near
probably
her.
Throwing at her.
Yeah.
But misses. And Mamacita's like, you know, the next time you throw something at me, I'm leaving you. And then she does it again in the hospital, which is so freaking sad. In the hospital, when she's like trying to convince Warner Brothers that, you know, to see things her way.
And it fails. They just replace her.
Yeah, and there's a big thing.
Right, she hears on the radio
that
they've replaced her with another actress.
And she throws something at Mamacita, and in the hospital, Mamacita's like, I'm out. that's it. I'm right. done. And she's like, but I have no one.
Yeah.
And she follows her into the hall. And she's like, you did this to yourself. Mama Sita right. says that to her. And then Joan Crawford just like, she needs like an ox. Like yeah, the, yeah, one of those like down. Things where you like right. need.
But she's not even really sick. She's in there she's as a really tactic. She's not really sick.
But after Mama Sita leaves her, she must have like right. some crazy panic attack.
Well, they're both chain smokers. Right. And you see as they like in the last episode, you see Joan Crawford is like has spitting cancer. Up blood. Yeah. And she doesn't have back teeth.
Yeah, she took her back teeth out to give her cheekbones.
Yeah, which is like something that people did. And the dentist is like, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Like, can I fix that for you? Yeah. Like, your jaw is like fucking up.
And yeah.
She's like, no, it's real.
You can't get movies if your face can't catch the light.
Yeah, it's real. It's yeah. real sad stuff.
And then in the very last episode, Mama Sita comes back for a little bit. But because she's really sick.
Right. She's living in like a little apartment. She sells that house.
In New York. Yeah. She sells her big giant house. And there's like, she's, what? I don't know what it, I don't know if it's like a dream. I don't know if she's meant to be like a little bit senile.
Yeah.
But there's a whole scene where there's like.
It's very Ryan Murphy.
Yeah. A party.
Yeah.
With Jack Warner, Betty Davis,
Hetty Hopper.
Yeah.
And it's like the old days. They're just sitting around talking.
Yeah. And her and Betty Davis are like bonding.
Yeah, and they like make up like we should have been friends. Yeah.
Oh my God. And then I almost so want to cry. It's so sad.
Mama Sita walks in.
And Mama Sita walks in and she's like, what are you doing? And she's like, we're having a party.
But she's just an old just lady her. In her robe sitting in a dark room talking God. To herself.
It's so upsetting.
Yeah.
It's so upsetting. It's so sad.
Yeah. And we find out she died like months before Mommy Dearest comes out. The book yeah. comes out. Because she's like.
She knows it's coming.
She knows she's heard it. She's heard about it.
Right. But she doesn't know all the.
Right.
All the details.
And that's the scene where her other daughter's like, I think you were a great mother.
Right. Yeah.
Which those kids are not in the Mommy Dearest movie at all. All you see is the two first kids.
I wonder if she adopted them later. She also in
tries
feud,
to adopt, yeah.
Tries to adopt again, but she's too old.
Yeah, and it's
so sad.
It's about
it's
how
so
Hollywood
sad.
Treats women. It's real sad.
Yeah, it's great. Please watch it, but it gets
watch
you.
Everything we're talking about.
It gets you.
Watch Mommy Dearest too.
Watch Will and Grace.
The fucking the scene where she's in fucking Pepsi Cola at the. The board of directors, and they're yeah. trying to like kick her off, and she's like, "Don't fuck with me, fellas."
Yeah,
incredible.
So good.
Incredible.
So good.
Well, Jen, I think we did it.
I think so.
Now we're gonna end the episode with so Jen Lucille. Singing. I've written a letter to Daddy. Go, Jen.
No, I forgot to mention that Betty Davis just to mess with her because Joan Crawford's real name is Lucille something or other.
Yeah.
She will only call her Lucille.
Yes.
According to Feud.
Incredible.
Which is fantastic.
Incredible.
Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. There's also like a pretty girl playing the neighbor and they
yeah.
both get her kicked yeah. off the movie.
Yeah.
And have replaced with Betty Davis's daughter.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
Jed, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We end every episode by saying
go bye-bye.